This is Alive with Joseph.
Glory to God. Please don't sit down yet. We're going to read the scriptures, our key text for this discussion. Are you ready? Let's read the book of Acts chapter 12. I read verse 6. I'm reading the NIV translation. It says, the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. I read again. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. He was bound with two chains, tied to these two soldiers, and also there were some more guards that stood at the entrance of his prison. Amen. I want you to look for five people on my behalf. Announce to them my title. Say to them, go and sleep. It is done. Go and sleep. It is done. Five people. Not one person. Five people. And I'm not counting. You better count. Five people. Now lift your voice. Thunder it over yourself. Go and sleep. It is done. Thunder, go and sleep. It is done. In the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Please, you may be seated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Welcome to this beautiful, beautiful Sunday, the last Sunday of the month, and the last Sunday for my series on the reality of Jubilee as we enter into our Jubilee week. Amen. Now, rest is the highest form of faith. When you can rest knowing that God has already done it, that is you expressing faith, and that is faith in action. Rest is the highest form of faith. Rest is the highest form of faith. Anytime that you can, you know, rest knowing that God has done it already, it is you expressing faith. It is you expressing faith. That is you expressing faith. And that is also your faith in action. The Bible makes it clear that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. Now when you come down to Acts chapter 20 verse 32, which forms part of our confession every service before we receive the word of God, it says, and now brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are the sanctified. Then the Bible also tells us that the preaching and the teaching of the cross of Jesus Christ is foolishness to them that are perishing, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. It is the power of God. To them who are outside, it is foolishness, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18. So understand that the gospel is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. Also understand that the gospel does not demand faith. The gospel supplies us with faith. The gospel does not demand faith. The gospel supplies us with faith. That is, everything that the gospel needs to work is locked up in the gospel. Or so to say, everything that the gospel needs to work is supplied by the gospel. So what this simply means is that the gospel of Jesus Christ does not need any form of support. Instead, the gospel will support you. The gospel of Jesus Christ does not need to be balanced. Instead, the gospel balances us. The gospel of Jesus Christ does not demand faith. The gospel itself supplies us with faith. So this means the gospel gives to you everything that the gospel needs for the gospel to work for you. I repeat, the gospel gives to you everything that the gospel needs for the gospel to work for you. That is, the gospel impregnates you with possibilities. Then the same gospel comes on the inside of you to enable you push it out. To enable you push it out. When you look at when a woman, you know, is pushing out the baby, the husband pregnants her with the seed, but it is the woman who pushes it out, not the husband. It is the woman who pushes out the seed. But for the gospel, it is not like that. The gospel pregnants you with the seed of possibility, and the same gospel enables you to push it out. And I pray for you in this season, everything that God has prepared for you as we enter into the month of October, you will push it out in the name of Jesus. I say you will push it out in the name of Jesus. So the Bible makes it clear in Ephesians, Philippians chapter 2 verse 13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good pleasure. It is him who is at work in you to also enable you fulfill his good purpose. I therefore declare you will fulfill the good purpose of God in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your loudest amen. You will fulfill the good purpose of God in the name of Jesus. Listen, friends, there is no part of the Christian race where you and I suspend the grace of God. There is no part of our journey where we stop receiving the help and the mercy of God. Understand that the gospel supplies us with faith. The gospel does not demand faith. The gospel supplies us with faith. Grace makes all things available. Faith makes all things obtainable. Grace makes it available. Faith makes it obtainable. That is, when the grace of God makes it available, the same grace who is Jesus Christ comes on the inside of you to supply you the faith that you need for you to cash out on everything that he has made available. He enters into you, supplies you with faith for you to be able to cash out on everything that redemption has made available. Hear this, friends. Everything that your faith will work with must be something that grace has already done. Everything that your faith will work with must be something that grace has already done. If grace has not done it, your faith will not be able to work with it. Everything that faith must work with must be what grace has already done. If it has not been done by grace, your faith cannot work with it. So, therefore, grace makes all things available. Faith makes all things obtainable. Thunder after me, say, grace makes all things available. I didn't hear you say grace makes all things available. Now declare, say faith makes all things obtainable. Now if you believe it, say amen to that. So grace makes it, faith takes it. Grace makes it, faith takes it. Faith is the hand that takes what grace has already provided. You cannot release your faith on what grace has not provided. That is why if it is not in the scriptures, it is not available. And as a result, you cannot have faith for it. Selah, pause and think. So, someone can come and tell me now that I will have an accident. As long as grace has not made accident available to me, my faith will not receive it. Why? Because it can only take what faith has, what grace has made available. So, which means when anyone comes and tell me I will have an accident, as long as there is no provision for it in scriptures, I reject it. Give Jesus praise this morning. Are you understanding me now? Are you understanding me now? So, faith, grace makes, faith takes. Grace makes, faith takes. Your faith cannot cash out on anything that the grace of God has not already provided. That is why you and I must know that Jubilee is available. Because Jubilee, grace has made Jubilee available. I've been explaining that in the last couple of weeks. Grace has made Jubilee available. And as a result, you can release your faith to receive Jubilee because grace has made Jubilee available. So your faith can now be released to receive the Jubilee grace has made available. And I pray for you in this season, you will walk in liberty in the name of Jesus. I say you will walk in liberty in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise. Hallelujah. Hear this, friends. Everybody has been saved in this world, but it is not everybody that have received salvation. Grace has made salvation available to everybody. Everybody has been saved in this world. Everybody has been saved, but it is not everybody that has received salvation. Not everybody. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5, NIV translation, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have been saved. So grace has made salvation available. Then in verse 8, he now tells us, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. And the Bible makes it clear that the death of Jesus made salvation available. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So everybody here on the earth potentially has been saved. Everybody has been saved, but by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. But listen, it is not everybody that has received salvation. That is why people don't go to hell because of their sins. They go to hell because they rejected salvation. You don't go to hell because of your sin. You go to hell because you have rejected what Jesus made available. That is why he says, with the heart man believes, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you are saved, but if you do not receive the salvation, you will not go to heaven. So Jesus, by his death, burial, resurrection, glorification, has made salvation available. But it is not everybody that is saved. So grace makes it available. It will require your faith to take what has been made available. Listen, the day you received Christ was not the day Jesus died for your sins. The day you received your healing was not the day when Jesus died for your healing. You were healed 2025 years ago. You were delivered 2025 years ago. You were saved 2025 years ago. 2025 years ago, Jesus died on that old rugged cross. And by that death, by his burial, by his resurrection, by his glorification, everything that pertains to life and godliness has been made available to you. Your healing available, your victory available, breakthrough available, open doors available, next level available. Everything is available. Deliverance is available. But friends, if grace makes it available and you don't take what it has made available, you will not enjoy what is available. Give Jesus praise. Amen. So when you understand this, that is why understanding is key. That is why understanding is key. That is why he said that I commend you to God and to the power of his grace. I commend you to God and to the power of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. So when you know this, you are able to receive what grace has made available. That is why, friends, for you to grow, or for you to grow, your faith must stay within the confines of the message of the gospel. For you to grow, for your faith to grow, you must stay within the confines of the message of the gospel. If you do not stay within the confines of the message of the gospel, or the message of Christ, your faith cannot grow. And you require your faith to grow to be able to receive what grace has made available. Listen, you don't grow your faith by prophecy. You don't grow your faith by the dreams of the night. You don't grow your faith by visions of the night. You don't grow your faith by me prophesying, telling you your house address, telling you your phone number, telling your father's name as if you don't know it, telling you how many food you have in your refrigerator as if you're not aware the number of meat in your refrigerator. You do not grow your faith by all of those things. Prophecy does not grow faith. What grows faith is you staying within the confines of the gospel, the message of the gospel, the message of the gospel, the message. If you don't stay within the confines of the message of the gospel, your faith cannot grow. Your faith cannot grow. And if your faith doesn't grow, you cannot walk in dominion. Say amen. Amen. Are you understanding me this morning? If you're understanding, wave back to me. Wave to me. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. You cannot grow by prophecy. You cannot grow by it. It is the gospel that releases faith within you to receive what Jesus has done, not prophecy. That is why when people live their lives in prophecy, they never walk in dominion. Check everybody who live by prophecy. No dominion, no nothing, no nothing. Empty of dominion, empty of power. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. The power of God unto salvation. The power. The gospel is power. Your days of being manipulated are over in the name of Jesus. You will walk in power in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your highest praise this morning. Hallelujah. So, listen, friends. That is why the Bible now tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Hear this. It is not every word that can build your faith. Faith doesn't come by hearing prophecies. Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is through the word about Christ. So it is only the word about Christ that builds your faith. It is not every word that builds your faith. It is not every word that builds your faith. It is when Jesus is preached, that is what builds your faith. That is why the Bible now tells us, the same Romans 10, when you go up a little bit, when you go to verse 14, it says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching the gospel to them? And that is what I am doing right now. I am preaching Jesus to you so that you can believe. I am preaching Jesus to you so, because when Jesus is preached to you, you can believe. That is what we do in all our services, midweek service, you know, morning prayers. Everything we do is to preach Jesus to you so that you can believe. Every time we stand here, I stand here, Pastor Cordelia stand here, all other of our ministers, we stand here, we preach Jesus to you so that you can believe, because there is no how you can believe if you have not heard, and there's no how you can hear if someone doesn't preach Jesus to you. Hallelujah. Then in verse 17, after saying that in verse 14, he returns to verse 17 and now tells us what it is. He said, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. He now tells us faith is released anytime you hear about the gospel of Christ. Oh, listen, friends, when the gospel of Christ is preached, faith is released on the inside of you. Why? Because the gospel does not demand faith. The gospel supplies faith. Give Jesus praise this morning. Please go ahead and give Jesus praise this morning. So that means as I'm preaching right now, there is a release of God's faith in the atmosphere. Faith is being released in the atmosphere. As I'm preaching, faith is all over the atmosphere. The spirit of faith is all over the atmosphere. You have been impregnated with the spirit of faith. That is why I may finish this preaching and never get to mention your situation by prophecy. I may finish this preaching and never get to call you out by prophecy. Call your name, call your phone number, call your house address. I may never get to call anything, but by the time I preach Jesus to you, faith comes on your inside. You return back home and command that devil to check out. Why? Because faith has risen from your inside. I may give you prophecy, faith will not rise. You get home, you actually become more afraid. But when I give you the gospel, you are able to enter where they say others are failing. You go there and prosper, because the power of God is in the gospel. Give Jesus praise this morning. Celebrate Jesus this morning. So that is why when you sit under an atmosphere like this, by the time you get home, Ayanama, your head is on fire. You can't wait to unleash the God that has been boiling on the inside of you. You can't wait to speak to your business, speak to your career, speak to your destiny. Why? Because the gospel gives you faith, supplies you faith. The gospel doesn't demand faith. It supplies you with faith. Give Jesus your praise this morning. And I pray for you, as you leave this place, you will walk in continuous dominion in the name of Jesus. I say you walk in dominion in the name of Jesus. Your glory days are here in the name of Jesus. Thunder Jesus, my jubilee. Celebrate the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. And that is why the Bible now tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Do you know, friends, the book of Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews 11, the faith there, the people were talking about, he said, the faith is the Jesus they hope. The hope there was Jesus. The faith, the hope they had was Jesus. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The things they hoped for was Jesus. Jesus is the substance of the things they hope for. So this Jesus they hope for, they didn't see. Even though they didn't see it, they continue to believe. And by their belief, verse 2 now tells us they obtained a good report. For the believer, that is not necessarily our faith. There's nothing wrong in Hebrews 1:11. I preach it and I'll continue to preach it. But that is not necessarily our faith. Their own faith, they hoped for the substance. That substance was Jesus. That is why he now said, by it, go to verse 2 quickly, put verse 2. By it, the elders obtained a good report. They didn't obtain Jesus. They were hoping, but they didn't see. They didn't obtain. They only could obtain a good report because they held on to death. Even there, they didn't see. Then the writer now comes to us in the new covenant. He now says, you and I are no longer hoping for Jesus because in him you live, in him you move, in him you have happen. That is why the writer now tells us in Hebrews 12, concerning you and I, we should now look unto Jesus. He is now the author and the finisher of our faith. Look unto what he has done. He has already done it. We are no longer hoping for the substance. He is now the substance. We have the substance. We are no longer hoping. No. The substance is Jesus, and we have this Jesus. So what do? We look on to what he has done. We look on to the deliverance. We look on to the victory. We look on because he will now have the substance. They hoped. And that was why they obtained a good report. Give Jesus praise this morning. So we look unto Jesus. We look unto Jesus. We don't look unto any man. We look unto Jesus. We look unto Jesus. We look unto this Jesus that we live, move, and have our being in him. So we're looking unto what Christ has done because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. So our faith is now responding to what Jesus has done. And Jubilee is one of the many things that Jesus has done for us. Hallelujah. Give Jesus praise. Jubilee is one of the many things that Jesus... You can go back to all the teachings that are there on our podcast for free. Go listen. Jubilee is one of the things that Jesus has done for us. Jubilee is one of those things. So child of God, you need to be excited. Every day wake up with joy because you carry Jesus on the inside of you. The one they hoped for lives on the inside of you. They hoped and hoped and hoped and they died. You and I, the one they hoped for lives on the inside of us. In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. The one they believed for until they died without experiencing him now lives on the inside of you. Friends, this means all things are not possible for you. Listen, all things are possible for you. The one they hope for, in him you now live. The one they hope for, in him you move. In him you have your being. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thunder Jesus, my Jubilee. Hallelujah. So as we return back to our text, it's about the Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter rather, Acts chapter 12. It's about Apostle Peter in prison. Peter was arrested and Herod had planned to kill him after Easter. And Herod was not bluffing because earlier on, he had already killed James. So he wasn't bluffing. He was going to really kill Peter. Now hear this, friends. Because he killed James, didn't mean it was going to be the experience of Peter. Hear me. Don't let anybody's experience be your experience. Don't never let anybody's experience be your experience. Just because Herod killed James, didn't mean that was going to be the experience of Peter. No. Just because someone died prematurely does not mean you too will die prematurely. Because their business failed does not mean your business will fail. Because their marriage failed, hear me, single people who are not married, because you may be surrounded with people whose marriages have failed, that does not mean that will be your experience. Another person's experience is not my experience. That is why the Bible says, looking unto Jesus. I don't look unto any man's experience. I look unto Jesus because I don't know what they have believed in to get the result they got. Hear me, nobody's experience should be your experience. Because someone failed doesn't mean you will fail. Because they didn't do well does not mean you will not do well. And I came to declare over you, only what Jesus has done shall be your experience in the name of Jesus. I say only what Jesus has done shall be your experience in the name of Jesus. I announce over you this morning, your case is different in the name of Jesus. I say your case is different in the name of Jesus. Listen, your case is different in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Listen, remind yourself that people like me don't die like that. Remind yourself that people like me don't fail like that. Remind yourself that people like me don't make such error. Remind yourself, listen, remind yourself, you are different. You are another kind of dead. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Let no man's experience, let no woman's experience be your experience. Just because Herod killed James didn't mean he was going to kill Peter. Hallelujah. And the Bible said when Peter was arrested, the church prayed earnestly. As I studied further, I discovered as much as they prayed, there was something else hidden in that verse that God wants us to see. The Bible said when they prayed, Peter was released. And as he was knocking at the door, a young lady named Rhoda heard the voice of Peter, ran to the door. I believe they were praying so much, you know. They were praying so much, vibrating. The house was vibrating. So they couldn't hear. But Rhoda could hear. Probably we could say she was in the spirit, or we could say she was distracted. Others were praying, she was playing. So she could hear. Hallelujah. So the Bible said that she ran to the door. She didn't run to the door. She, instead of her to open the door, she ran to them to go tell them that Peter is at the door. When she said to them, Peter is at the door, they said to her, you are mad. Now, I don't understand what kind of prayer they were praying. That when the answer was at the door, they still didn't believe. Were you not praying for Peter to be released? And someone comes and tells you, Peter is at the door. And you tell her, you are mad. I don't understand. What kind of prayer were they praying? Because could it be that they were just fulfilling all religious righteousness? They were not really praying because they want to receive an answer. And there are many of you who join the 5 a.m. prayer. You're not praying because you want to receive an answer. You just join because you know you can't go to a shrine by 5 a.m. So you join morning prayers. Pray to receive an answer. Pray to receive an answer. Be expectant when you pray. Be expectant when you pray. Because you're not praying into storage. You are praying into an answer. Hallelujah. So they were praying. They were praying as they were praying. They didn't believe what they were praying will arrive. They were. So you wonder, why were they praying in the first place? And I discovered that the reason their intercession was so weak was because of lack of revelation. Hear this, friends. Revelation is what makes intercession powerful. That is why you pray with knowledge. When you don't pray with knowledge, you will not pray to receive an answer. If prayer is the gun, then revelation is the trigger. Hear me, friends. Prayer carries tremendous power when it is anchored on revelation. Revelation is what makes intercession powerful. Then they were praying, but the breakthrough was already at the door. I don't know who that is, so I announce over you. Your breakthrough is at the door in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your amen. I said your breakthrough is at the door in the name of Jesus. You have prayed. I came to announce your testimony is at the door in the name of Jesus. Your new open doors is at the door in the name of Jesus. Your next level is at the door in the name of Jesus. That job you are believing God for, I came to declare the employment letter is at the door in the name of Jesus. I say your victory is at the door in the name of Jesus. What you are praying for is already at the door in the name of Jesus. Some of you, by the time you get to the office on Monday morning, the victory is waiting for you at the door in the name of Jesus. I say it is waiting at the door in the name of Jesus. Before you come here on the first day of Jubilee 2025, you are returning with your testimony. You are returning with your breakthrough. You are returning with your answers. In the name of Jesus. Thunder, my breakthrough is at the door. Thunder, one more time. My breakthrough is at the door. If you believe it, say amen. Give the Lord your highest praise this morning. Oh, your waiting season is over. I don't know who you are. I came to declare your waiting season is over. Your waiting season is over. Your waiting season is over. What you are believing God for is already at the door in the name of Jesus. Thunder, Jesus, my Jubilee. After the back and forth, they finally opened the door. I believe, friends, that Peter knew something that we don't know. Because when you look at this scripture, verse 6, our text, go back to our text. The TPT translation said, the night before Herod planned to bring him to trial, Herod made sure that Peter was securely bound with two soldiers, bound with two chains. Peter was sound asleep between two soldiers. This man was bound. They tied him to the soldiers and he was sleeping. Some of you ordinary, the rent that is due, you can't even sleep. Rent is due next week. It's 2 weeks now. You are not sleeping. This man must know something. This Peter must know something. Some of you, school fees is due. Is it month end? This is not month end. Some people already having, they are going for high blood pressure test. There's no high blood pressure or anything. It's just that they cannot seem to see God doing anything for them. So they are refusing to sleep. Not your neighbor, tell them go to sleep. Here is Peter, who is going to die in the morning. The dude was snoring in the midst, tied between two soldiers with some other guards at the entrance. And this guy was... The Bible said he was sound asleep. He was... I'm sure the soldiers were so annoyed that this guy, you're snoring on our ears. They were not sleeping, but the one that would die was sleeping. They were not sleeping. They are not the ones that would die, but yet they were not sleeping. The one that would die was sleeping. Hear me, I came to announce, your enemies will be the one not to sleep. Oh, you didn't. I said, your enemies will be the one not to sleep. Oh, your enemies will be the one not to sleep. Oh, you will sleep and you will sleep well in the name of Jesus. In the midst of your battle, you will sleep and find rest in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning in the name of Jesus. The man was sound asleep. Sound asleep. Ah, thunder, I go to rest because it is already done. In the days of Peter, we cannot say that maybe they smuggled a cell phone into the jailhouse the way they do in these days. So maybe they texted him that the church was praying for you. Amen. There was nobody. Nobody brought a telegram. Nobody brought anything to him. There was no WhatsApp message. There was no TikTok for him to go live and they say, no, we're praying for you. Don't worry. We're praying for you. There was nothing like that. Because let's learn to be silent where the Bible is silent. The Bible is silent. Let's be silent. Where Bible is vocal, we're vocal. The Bible didn't say they told him they were praying for. Actually, what we can safely conclude is that, you know, to the best of our knowledge and to the best of his knowledge, he knew they were not praying for him. Do you know how? Because when they arrested Peter, when they arrested James, they didn't pray. So to his best of knowledge, he knew that they were not praying. So we cannot say now that it was the prayer of the church that boosted the faith of Peter, because he was not aware that they were praying for him. And remember, they were in hiding. Don't forget as well, when they were doing that prayers, they were all hiding, because after they took Peter, they all ran and they hid themselves to pray. Now, I believe, the Bible didn't say that, but I believe the reason also they were praying is because they were now wondering, who is next? So for you to see that the prayer was not actually for Peter's deliverance. That was why when they said Peter was at the door, they said, you are mad. We are praying that this prayer is, we are all afraid. We are wondering who will be the next person that will be arrested. So somehow the prayer was not for the deliverance of Peter. But what did Peter know that gave him so much rest? As I close, what did he know? This guy must know something that made him sleep. Go with me. John chapter 21. Jesus speaking to Peter before he died. He said, listen, when you were younger, you made your own choice and you went where you pleased. But one day, when you are old, others will tie you up, escort you where you would not choose to go, and you will spread out your arms. Now, Bible commentary tells me this. It says that this was Jesus hinting Peter of his martyrdom that he will experience in Rome one day. Where, you know, historians also said, they also recorded that Peter was actually, you know, his hands were spread. He was crucified. But he was crucified upside down because he requested that they should crucify him upside down because he felt that he was not worthy to be crucified the same way Jesus was crucified. So that means when Herod arrested Peter, Peter knew by revelation that he is not old. It is not time for him to die. So that gave him rest, knowing that no matter what happens, at the end of it all, I don't know how it will be, I don't know when it will be, but somehow, Herod will not be the one to kill me. I will come out of this. I don't know how I will come out, but I will come out of this. I don't know who will bring me out, but I will come out. For you to see that Peter was expectant when the angel came and nudged him and said, Peter, wake up, let's go. He woke up immediately. He didn't even ask questions. He was ready to go. It's more like, you guys, what took you so long? Behave yourself. He woke up immediately. He was not afraid. Who are you? No, he woke up immediately. The angel said, let's go. He marched out like, I've been expecting you to come because the time for my martyrdom is not yet time. It's not yet time because by revelation I know that what God have said will always come to pass. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will remain the same. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return back to me void. It will accomplish and achieve the purpose for which it was sent out for. If God says it's not my time, my friend, it is not my time. If God says you will not die, my friend, you will not die. No matter what happens to you, that explains why Peter went to sleep because he knew it was done. Thunder, I go to sleep because I know it is already done. Say amen to that. Give the Lord your praise this morning. So Peter knew he was not old yet. So death was not his portion. That is to say, no matter what happens, my friend, you're coming out to Ayana Maradaba. I don't know how it has been difficult for you. I came to announce in this season of Jubilee, you are out in the name of Jesus. You are out in the name of Jesus. You are out in the name of Jesus. Your celebration begins in the name of Jesus. Your testimony has arrived in the name of Jesus. It is time for jubilation in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your highest praise. Hey! He knew. No matter what happens, Peter knew. It was like, I'm not going to die because I have a revelation of what Jesus has said. That's why revelation is revolution. When you know, my friend, when you know, oh, the day I knew what God wants to do through my life, I don't need anybody to tell me again. I knew. Nobody came to tell Peter, oh, don't worry, we're praying. No. He knew. And the man slept. When you know, you will rest. Not your neighbor. Make sure they are there. Not them. Not them. Tell them, you know, go to sleep. It is already done. But don't sleep in the church. No. It's already done. I say it is already done. Your healing, already done. Your favor, already done. Restoration, already done. Your victory, already done. Testimonies, already done. Open doors, already done. Business breakthrough, already done. Give the Lord your praise this morning. And to strengthen my argument, that it was a prophecy. Verse 19 actually tells us that Jesus said this to Peter as a prophecy of what kind of death he would die for the glory of God. And then he said, Peter, follow me. Follow me, Peter. And that was why Peter was sleeping, even though he was chained in between two soldiers. Child of God, go and rest. I say, go and rest. I say, it is done. Go and rest. Every morning after prayers, when I tell you it is done, I'm not just trying to massage your emotions. I'm telling you because it is done. When I tell you step out in faith, it is done. Step out in faith, it is done. It is done. It is done. Well, this is not the end of the game for you, my friend. Because better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Get ready, child of God. You will rise and shine in this season in the name of Jesus. The remaining 3 months of this year, you will rise and shine in the name of Jesus. You will flourish like never before in the name of Jesus. Get ready to do the impossible in the name of Jesus. And this is the word of the Lord to us, Alive Church. It is already done in the name of Jesus. This is the word of the Lord to us. It is already done in the name of Jesus. Celebrate the Lord if you believe that this morning. It is already done. So Peter knew while he was in prison what Jesus said when he is old, and he knew because he remembered. He remembered. He knew because he remembered an incident that happened when Jesus said to them, let's go to the other side. And on their way to the other side, they encountered a storm. And they were all safe. And they got to the other side. The word of Jesus came to pass. He knew. He remembered. Ah! I remember when we were in the boat. He said, let's go to the other side. And even though we encountered a storm, we still got to the other side. Now he told me, I will only die when I'm old. And I know I'm not old. Ah! The same word that is the same yesterday, today and forever is the same for me as well. The man went to rest. Revelation. 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 I taught you here sometime. I don't know if it's this your last year. What do you know that you have forgotten? What do you know that you have forgotten? Imagine if Peter has forgotten what he knew by revelation. He will have died. Because no prayer will have brought him. And why? The prayers were being offered in faithlessness. The prayers were being, they were interceding for him with lack of revelation. Peter will have been butchered like James. Peter will have been killed. But he knew something he didn't forget. What do you know you have forgotten that is making you suffer what you ought not to suffer? I pray for you. As your amen will thunder, the oil of God is on your head in the name of Jesus. The increase of God is in your hands in the name of Jesus. Speed to your feet in the name of Jesus. I announce over you, it is your time for jubilee in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Let's rise on our feet. Lift your voice in thanksgiving.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you were blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.